Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
The Lord ministered to me and just showed me. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastises. Who the Lord loves, he disciplines. Who the Lord loves, he corrects, okay? And what that correction is to get you in a place that he can bless you. And really, whom the Lord loves, he blesses. And we just have to get in that place. That's what the word does for us. That's what church is for us. And, you know, and the world, when we go and we kind of exercise our ability to socialize and to tolerate things in the world, sometimes the world gets on us a little bit. You know, it's funny because there's parallels to the church and smartphones. And, you know, being of the generation that I am, I probably use in the single digits percentage of the capability of that smartphone. You know, you've got more technology in that smartphone that you're holding than NASA did when they sent men to the moon. And understand that there's so much. But that's how the word is. That's how God's promise is. There's so much. And if we just kind of dabble in it, and if we just kind of take it for granted, if I'm just thinking, you know, I'm just going to use it as a phone, I'm going to text a little bit, then the capacity that's in that phone, I'm never going to come near even any real percentage of what's in that phone. The word's the same way. Man, there's so much in God's word. You know, it's interesting today, we got this Zumba. And I'm referred to in my home as Mr. Fix-It, just so you guys know. And really, I'm like having a week of Fix-It, because number one, I changed out the battery in my Harley by myself this week, okay? Number two, I fixed my Roomba. I fixed my deal that vacuums. But anyway, there's a little brush on the top corner. It's a high dollar number, this Roomba, okay? But it's got a brush on the top corner of it you stop it, woman. I'm not kidding you. I don't even have my glasses on and I can tell. But there's a brush, and the brush stopped working. So you know what? I picked up my smartphone. And I pressed the little microphone, and I said, how do you fix the brush on your Roomba? And then I Googled it, and I punched the button, I saw a video, I played the video, and I did exactly what the dude did that did it, and I fixed it. Hence, Mr. Fix-It, okay? Half the men in here couldn't do it. I'm just telling you right now. It required a screwdriver. But I'm just telling you, the word's the same way. We get frustrated. I wanted to take that thing and throw it like this to try to fix it. And that's how I want to do my life. But, you know, there's so much in God's word. But see, that there's so many things that are available to us. And what I want to do is I want to start the message tonight by revisiting kind of the benchmark verse from Sunday. How many of you guys were here Sunday? Okay, what this is going to do is the word was sown in your heart on Sunday. Tonight, we're going to take this verse and hydrate that word. We're going to water it. Remember, and what happens when you stack this up in your life, Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered, and God provides the increase. So there's going to be increase that's going to come to your life, and I'm telling you that prophetically, all right? This is well within the jurisdiction of my role in your life as a preacher of God's word and a presenter of God's word and rightly dividing the word of truth for you, that when that word gets sown and that word becomes watered by some guy, Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered, and God provides the increase. And here's what I'm going to tell you prophetically, that God's going to produce increase in your life in the name of Jesus. So you just got to receive it. Can you get with me on that? Man, you guys watching online, man, be a part of this, okay? So shall my word, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, okay? So God's saying, look, pay attention to what I'm talking about. Because this word is going to produce. It's going to do exactly what I intended to do. It shall not return to me void. And in the margin of your Bible, if you're here Sunday, you wrote of power. So it's not going to return void of power, but it shall accomplish what I please. Now listen, God's correcting you tonight. Why is he correcting you? Because he wants you placed within the bounds of his blessing. Okay? So God can bless you. Are you with me on this? Man, can you get with me? Can you just believe that God can bless you tonight? Okay, it was underwhelming, but I'll take your word for it. It won't return to me void of power is what God says. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. See, God sends his word to us. See, a parallel verse here or a cross-reference would be, he sent his word to me and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. Okay, so now that word that was sown in your heart on Sunday, so how many of you guys were here on Sunday? Okay, now it just got hydrated. Now let me just tell you, there are no other steps in the dynamic. It's just going to flow from you. It's just going to work in your life. Are you believing God for something? In your life, are you believing God for something? Man, I'm believing God. I'll tell you what I'm believing God for. I'm believing God for another 700 salvations in this church in my lifetime. We've already got 300,000, and I just thought, let's just add a comma to whatever number it's going to be. Okay, so I'm believing God for that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach church growth. I'm going to preach inviting people. I'm going to preach Easter every time I get a chance. It's good now because Easter's in a week and a half. But let me tell you, whomever you invite to church is going to come on Easter. That's how it works. This is America. How many of you guys live in America? How many of you guys would invite someone who lives in America? Let me just tell you, over 80% of the people that you invite to come to church will actually show up. And we're going to provide an Easter candy drop out of a helicopter for all our kids. It's going to be an amazing time. But what you have to understand is I'm going to preach church growth. I'm going to preach impacting our community. I'm going to equip you with everything I can. Because let me tell you what I am at heart. And some of you guys that heard, maybe, I don't know if there was any social media posts or anything, but there was a rumor that I was driving a golf cart that 30 junior high kids got on. That is a bold-faced lie. There weren't over 25 of them on there, all right? And we only went around the block, and it was safety first. I made sure everybody, I said, hang on for your dear life, okay? So I feel like they were warned, all right? And they laughed and they screamed and they like me now, and that's the only reason I do it, so they like me. Because if they like me, they may like God. If they like God, then they may like the church. If they like the church, they may like God. So that's how I think of things. But the idea of this is we've got to get the people. And we got to quit playing the games where we're like, where are his hands and where are his feet, where are his mouthpieces? No, you know what? We've been commissioned. We've been jointly commissioned with Jesus, the great commission. The mission of my life is to go into every man's world and preach the gospel, the good news. Man, if you're here tonight and you're poor, let me just tell you, increase is coming your way, and God will make you rich in the name of Jesus. If you're in here and you're sick, let me just tell you, God's healing power is active and alive. Because see, here's what the Bible says. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he joins us. Let me tell you who joins us. Healing joins us. Peace joins us. Forgiveness joins us. Just because you're here with people that are gathered in the name of Jesus, forgiveness is just swept through your life. There's no unforgiven parts of your life. God's grace just hits your life. Are you listening to me? Pay attention. You have to have clarity. Do you have clarity? Can you focus on just simply retrieving God's promise? Because that's what this is. This isn't a promise that God is making you tonight to bless you or to heal you are to improve your life. It's not a promise he's making. It's a promise he has kept. He made this promise a long time ago, way before you and I showed up. But you know what? Because we were born in this earth, now we have the capacity and the opportunity to receive his promise. All we have to do is say, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. God, I repent of my sin. God, I ask you to forgive me. God, I ask you to cleanse me. And God, I thank you that I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus now. Everything you tell me to do, I'm going to do. Where you tell me to go, I'm going to go. What you call me to do is what I'm going to do. See, it's that simple. That's just a heart. And I promise you, everybody in here has got that kind of heart. But you've got to have clarity and focus to be able to retrieve God's promise. In Isaiah 4:4, excuse me, Philippians 4:4, that was Isaiah 55. But Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he said, okay, you're not paying attention. Again, I say rejoice. See, if you're thinking, if the devil's messing with you and saying, oh, it's all just repetitive, that's, God doesn't want you missing out on any of it. And let me just tell you, it's all very simple. Okay? This isn't tough. I remember when I was a brand new Christian. Any relatively new believers in here? Any relatively new Christians in here? I remember when I was, and I'm like, how am I going to get all this? And there's just so much in this book. This book is so thick. The pages are so thin. How am I going to get it all? Well, now in my life, I was thinking about this today. I was just praying. I was in the Word the whole day. Man, I'm jazzed. I'm just juiced up tonight for this. But I'll just tell you this. It's like, man, I started figuring it out. I've been in the Word over 15,000 hours in my life. You know, it's interesting, too. I was talking to a brother, and he said, man, Pastor, I'm going to get it. I'm going to keep listening to this. I'm going to keep studying this till I get it. Let me tell you something. That's exactly what my heart is. And I'll tell you why. I was asked a question as a brand-new believer. Do you want all of God you can get? I'm asking you that question tonight. Do you want all of God that you can get? I do, too. So you know what? I'm going to go after it. I'm not going to sit back and complain about how life is. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Listen, the Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Man, just don't complain. Don't roughhouse through life. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Woo! Oh, but it's 2019. It's trendy to have anxiety. It's trendy to be depressed. It's trendy to be down. It's trendy to think about suicide. It's trendy to study how to commit suicide. No, stop it. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Why? Does God just want you exercising your faith? No. Why would you exercise your faith? Because God wants you to get it. God wants you to have everything. Listen, what the promise of God is, can I give you one of the promises of God? One person said yes. She's the only one that's going to receive this tonight. Can I give you one of the promises of God? Everything pertaining life and godliness. That makes me smile. I'm not kidding you. Man, if I was given to goosebumps or something, that would have gave them to me. Man, everything God's promised in my life, he's promised me everything. Not lacking anything. He's promised me everything pertaining life and godliness. Let me just tell you, man, what do I have to complain about? Most of my issues are first world problems anyway. I get frustrated. I was on my walk run with Hustle, my dog, today, and I was talking on the phone, and it kept cutting out, and I'm like, and I'm hitting the phone against my leg, and I'm like, come on, and it's just irritating me, and I'm thinking, it's a first world problem. That stuff does not irritate us. Man, maybe if you got some third world problems, maybe you can complain a little bit. No, you can't. I'm telling you, God's word's true for all of us. And they put the wrong kind of cheese on your hamburger. We don't complain. Be anxious for nothing. Psalm 45, I think it starts, the first verse, My heart's overflowing with a good theme. Stop right there and make that your confession of faith for life. Man, I went to rugby practice Tuesday night, and I told those boys that played their tail off. One of the kids had got a red card, so we had to play a man short for the last 30 minutes of the game. They came from behind and won by a point. I said, man, I can't tell you how proud I am. And I tell you this, my heart overflows with a good theme. You fought back and you won. You fought back and you beat them. My heart overflows with a good theme. See, that's got to be our life. Man, you look at your son. I look at my son, Taylor. I look at my daughters. I was in the golf cart with Kennedy. All she wanted to do is, she's 23. All she wants to do is be with me in that little 10-minute span. So, man, I'm taking advantage of every bit of that. And my heart just overflows with a good theme. I came around the corner tonight in the first song, and I looked, and I saw Sandy in the front row. Man, my heart overflows with a good theme. See, that's what our life is. That's God's will for your life. My heart overflows with a good theme. Man, how's business? My heart, man, let me just tell you how business is. My heart overflows with a good theme. Let me tell you where it goes from here. I recite my composition concerning the King. Man, get your script down, okay? My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. What the words that I'm speaking are scripting my life. See, so it starts with what? My heart overflows with a good theme. My heart overflows. I'm pouring myself out as a drink offering. Why? Because I can trust God to fill me back up. Man, we're so worried. We're like, I'm fatigued. I'm tired of the rat race, and I hate my job, and my boss is an idiot. Oh my gosh, my husband ain't even trying. All that stuff. Let me tell you, none of it makes it life any better. Your tongue writes the script of your life. Man, go back to that verse. My heart overflows with a good theme. I write my composition before the King. That's what my tongue's doing right now. Is God, I know that you're able, and I know that you're willing, and God, I put myself in a position to receive your blessing, your promises. Is it God's will to prosper you? Absolutely. Is it God's will for God to give you the power to get wealth? And you'll say, well, prosperity, does that mean money? Well, no, it means control. But let me just tell you, wealth does. Well, I'm wealthy in a lot of poor stuff. No, you know what? Where you lack nothing, where you're able to give to every good work. Man, we're having a golf tournament for the distribution center. Why shouldn't that golf tournament just pay for the rest of the year of the expenses there? Why? Because all we're going to do is it's just going to grow. Man, have you guys been over there lately? It's just phenomenal. The crowds are overflow. Man, they set goals at the beginning of the year, and man, our kids' departments and our youth departments and the distribution center. And man, look at this crowd in here today. Man, my heart overflows with a good theme. I write my composition before the King. People are getting saved tonight. People are getting their lives right with God tonight. It matters that we're here. It matters that elders are here. It matters that staff are here. Man, it matters that Brian Tyler, who's been in the staff for over 15 years, coming to the church for over 20, is at the west entrance shaking people's hands coming in the door. It matters. Your tongue writes the script of your life. When you complain, though, your life finds that lane. See, complaining creates, and write this down, complaining creates an unwanted future. Let me tell you, if we had a class, I could teach a doctoral level class on complaining. I know how to do it. I really do. And it's easy for me. Comes very naturally for me. But complaining draws an unwanted script to my life. I don't want that script. You know what I found? Everybody can complain. It takes no special ability. Everybody can blame somebody else or blame. Let me tell you what I want to do with my life, and I have since I gave my life to the Lord. I want to take responsibility for my life. I'm not putting it off on anybody. Guess what? You can't offend me. You can't. There's no one in this room that's ever seen me offended. No one. And you never will. I won't allow you. I won't give you the authority in my life to offend me. You can be as offensive as you. People are offensive to me all the time. All the time. I remember we were on TV, we were on Fox late at night, and man, tens of thousands of people watched it every week. And I'd run into people in town that I'd never met, but they watched me on TV a few times and maybe didn't like some of the things that I was saying. And they said things to me where I'm like, you don't know me. Do you understand how rude? Do you understand how offensive you're being? I'm not going to let you offend me. I'm not allowing that. See, take control of your own life. And God gives us that. Complaining isn't doing anything, but it feels like it is. Let me tell you complain all day, feel like you could get worn out, but you're not going to add a foot to the race that God's called you to run. And every single time, let me just tell you, complaining makes things worse every single time. No matter what. And you know what? Let me just tell you, birds of a dadgum feather, bad company corrupts good morals. You get good at complaining, you're going to be hooked up with a bunch of complainers. And you're not going to have those joy-filled, those Christ-like people around your life. It's not going to happen. And then you're going to look around, you go, well, why is my life like this? And then you know what? You go back to that psychological test where it's like, look, take inventory of the top five people in your life and it'll show you your future. Well, if they're complaining, look at the people around you. If they're complainers, that's what you're attracting. See, complaining gets us focused on the things we don't like. See, I can focus. And when I start complaining, I can start focusing on things I don't like. And then all I see is things I don't like. I mean, what's so amazing, Kennedy walked in our office, Sandy and I were meeting this week, and she walked in and she said, Dad, do you know how much the church is growing these days? I'm like, hey, would you be quiet for a minute? We're discussing something in here. But when she said that, it's like, oh my gosh. And all that is, it's not about big church, little church. It's about people. It's about getting to everybody. Because let me tell you, see, I think the common form, what the world wants is a church just to get their piece of the pie. They're a downtown church. They're a black church. They're a suburban church. They're a Methodist church. They're a denominational church. They're a Free Will Baptist church. They're a whatever church. I don't look at it like that. I mean, you ask Sandy what kind of church she wants to pastor, she'll tell you a diverse church, a generous church. So you know what? You know what diversity and generosity gives us? The whole dadgum pie. No one's left out. You're sitting here going, well, is there anybody in here like me? I promise you there is. I promise you. But see, we've got to look at it. Nobody's left out. Nobody's going to judge you because of the way you've lived. Nobody's going to judge you. No, you know what? Everybody's going to get a pass when you come in here. But the expectation is you're not going to leave here. We want you to come the way you are, but don't leave the way you were. Man, leave here better every single time. I don't want to be focused on what I don't like. I don't want to arrive at a place that I don't want to be. That's what complainers get. Man, complainers just end up getting to a place they don't want to be. I know where I want to be. Do you know where you want to be? Do you know what you're believing God for? Man, how many of you guys want to reach people? How many of you guys want to reach Just Done Prison, the prison for men that's in Taft, Oklahoma? How many of you guys want to reach that? Well, let's go reach them. How many of you guys want to reach neighborhoods? Let's reach them. How many of you guys have a heart for fill in the blank? Let's go get them. Let me just tell you what God's doing right now in this church. God is churning in people's hearts about planting churches, about being church planters, about being part of that team. There are unreached people. There are people in towns that other people have forgotten. There's people in towns, other people that are planting churches that have driven by those towns. that I believe God's called us to. Why not? I don't need a church with neon lights. I just need a church that we can help hurting people. 1 Timothy 1:18. We're getting to the good news now. We're getting off of complaining. Stop complaining and receive this charge tonight. I love how Paul writes to Timothy, because he's writing as a son. The way we pastor is the way we parent. It's a family meeting, isn't it, Sandy? We're going to have a family meeting. Why do we have a family meeting? Because there's some correction that needs to be made. There's some attaboys that need to be given. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. And underline or circle or highlight the word charge. Or write it down. This charge that I commit to you. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Listen to this. Mark, you received a prophetic utterance a couple weeks ago, right? Man, I charge you, Mark, according to the prophetic utterance delivered to you, that concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Now listen to how this, man, I charge you. Now it's time for you to wage war. I charge you. Go to war with God's promises that you've received in your life. You're not going unarmed. Man, that's all this word's given you. It's arming you. How many of you guys have a future in this? Man, you don't feel like you got a future in it? Come see me. Come see Scott's. Come see Sean. You don't feel like you got a future in this? Come see Megan. Because let me tell you, I promise you, I've known Megan since she was a little girl. I taught her how to drink coffee. I taught her how to play poker. I've been in her life. Her mom and dad didn't ask me to do that. I took it upon myself to do that. I didn't feel like they could handle those things. They came home, and Megan's like 5 years old or 6 years old. And they, what are you doing? I'm drinking coffee. Do you like it? I don't like it very much. But he won't let me put any cream in it. But the devil's tried to tell you. The devil's tried to rip you relentlessly. But guess what? The God she serves is more relentless than the devil that's trying to deceive her. Our God is greater, period, end of subject. So you know what? The prophetic utterances that have been given in your life. How many of you guys received a prophetic utterance tonight that you are going to increase in your life? Let me see your hands. You take that prophetic utterance and you go to war with it. That's what you go fight with. Having faith. Now listen, underline that faith. And here's the big one, a good conscience. Yeah, you have sinned. You have fallen short of the glory of God. But God has redeemed you. The strongest thing on the planet is redemption. God's redeemed you. I was an idiot. I lived in darkness. I was a knucklehead. Man, I'm living as hard this direction as you could live. And God stopped me in my tracks and I gave my life to Jesus and he spun me around. And you know what? I only knew one speed, and that's the speed I went as a believer. And you know what? The first thing a guy asked me that was important was, do you want all of God you can get? And it's like, heck yeah, man. And now I've obsessed over it for almost 40 years. Man, we take this prophetic utterance. Man, I think about the prophecies been given in Sandy's life, the prophetic words that have been given to me in my life. And you know what? Those are things we go to war with. Man, we stand on the healing provision of God in this church. We have a healed service every year. We pray for the sick every chance we get. You know what? What's interesting that very few people know is Sandy had a prophetic word that God had given her a healing ministry. And you know what? I just happened to be in the wake of that. I just happened to get some of that splashed over onto me. See, that's how this works. That's what happens with the company you keep and the people that you're around. Lives are changed. Man, Scott's praying for an older man a couple of years ago, and the guy said, man, I can hear you. And Scott's like, well, great, because they're standing under the speaker. And he said, no, I can hear you. He said, man, I'm glad you can. And man, it's important that you can hear me. He goes, no, I couldn't hear when I came in here, and I can hear now. Yeah. Take some of that, stupid devil. Devil's stupid. He's messed with the wrong people. We're taking the charge that we're getting tonight, and we're going to wage war with it. Man, you on your way home, drive by the bank that you have your accounts in. And just slow down as you go by and roll the window down. And say, accounts, you got to fill up. You got to overflow. I got places. I have intentions for my money. If your money doesn't have any purpose, your money's not going to increase. It'll come and go. You got purpose to your money? Hey, I got news for you. It's not yours anyway. You just get to hold it. You just get to steward it. You don't own it. See, there's only one owner of money, and that's God. If you think you own money, it owns you. Having faith and a good conscience, with some having rejected concerning the faith, and listen, have suffered shipwreck. It's real clear. There's a clear tone to this. Have suffered shipwreck.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.